We do have a set of Coyotes tickets to give away a little bit later. This will be for Thursday night, March 9th at 7 p.m. So check your calendar, and if that's a game you want to attend and you're available, be ready to text in at 411-923 when we ask the Garden trivia question here a little bit later in this hour. But that'll give you time to check your calendars and make arrangements to make sure that's clear your schedule. 7 o'clock, so it's how long does a hockey game go? An hour, hour and a half, 2 hours?
Oh, probably 2.5 or three. It's kind of same as a basketball game. They play 3 20-minute periods.
Okay.
So there's actually an hour of play time. It's probably 3 hours, I'd guess.
All right. Gene had wrote in this week. We had a ton of questions this week. You could tell it is gardening season by the influx of gardening questions we received at RosieOnTheHouse.com, starting with, Gene wants to know about a red yucca. Can she cut it or trim it back?
You can kind of divide it. So it grows like a clump. And as it grows, it kind of adds rhizomes out to the side of it, and the clump gets bigger. You can't really control the height of it very well because, it only sends, shoots. If you terminate, there's no branch to terminate, and it'll send another branch higher. So if you cut it off, it's going to just stay cut off at that level forever.
Which isn't a good look over time.
That's not a good look. So the best way to do those is if the clump gets too big, you go in, you dig it up, you pull it apart, and you replant it as a much smaller clump again and let it start all over.
We appreciate the question. Judy wants to know about a soaker hose. She's had one in the ground for 2 years and feels that the entire length of the hose is not leaching out water anymore. Will those get clogged from hard mineral deposits over time?
They do, and depending on what kind of soaker hose it is, they either get plugged up or either the hard water plugs it up or soil particles plug it up, or if it's an old traditional kind of a crumbly hose glued back together soaker hose, they just start decomposing and falling apart. They're good for a year or two. I really like them. I mean, they're a great way to water. But they do require probably some replacement or maintenance every so often.
Not a lifetime guarantee on a soaker hose.
Oh, gosh, no. Well, a lifetime guarantee, it'd be fine, but the lifetime is one or two seasons.
Polly came in with some questions on an oleander. It has this beautiful hedge of oleanders with spots, two very distinct spots that seem to be dying off. And it's a pretty mature oleander. You can tell by the height and the diameter. Is there a life expectancy on oleander?
Do we know what part of town he lives in?
We don't.
Well, in certain parts of town, we have had the oleander scorch, this disease that's spread by a sharpshooter that is still around. We're not hearing as much about it as we were 5 or even 10 years ago. But we still are seeing some places where that is affecting big, mature hedges of oleander. We'd have to see the foliage and see the symptoms to determine if that's what's doing it. And it could also be as simple as a lot of times with a big old oleander hedge, depending on how we're watering it. We talked about soaker hoses getting plugged up. Well, if it's an old drip system, maybe the oleander itself has plugged up or damaged the irrigation supply, and you've got some pockets that aren't getting, watered correctly. So there's a number of things, that could be causing that.
Our last email here before we get to our next topic is highly suspicious that it's the question is, what do I fertilize my Venus flytrap?
It's suspicious because of who's asking it.
It's another morning host, Brady Bogan. And I think he's just pulling our chain. But if he's really sitting by his radio this morning to find out how to fertilize his Venus trap, because he really has one, let's help him out.
Brady to get rid of his fly swatter, quit killing all the flies that are in his house, and let the Venus flytrap do its job. That being said, I don't know if this works or not, but I was always told you could take little bitty pieces of hamburger and put it in the Venus flytrap, and that would work in substitute of flies or insects that are not present for it to eat.
So is that cooked hamburger or just raw ground?
I would think raw. Yeah.
Okay.
No, raw.
Raw.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to lawns, and we're going to start that by a text question here. The individual wants to know, if I overseed now, is that going to prevent my summer lawn germination?
Overseed now with ryegrass?
If they pre-emerge now, will that hurt his...
Well, if they pre-emerge in, over an existing dormant summer... Say that again. I'm sorry.
If they use pre-emergent now, will it prevent good summer lawn from...
Okay. If it's got an existing summer lawn that's dormant or has ryegrass growing in it now, no, because that lawn isn't being seeded. Now, if you had a spot where you're going to reseed a summer lawn, then... Yeah, you might be a little, you might not want to do that now. You might want to wait till after that summer lawn has established itself in May or June and then pre-emerge after the fact.
It won't affect a dormant existing Bermuda.
Absolutely
but if
not.
If your first lawn was this last winter with a rye and you've got a seed now for your Bermuda.
Pre-emergence form a barrier in the soil, and once the little seed starts to germinate, it's trying to germinate and grow a little cotyledonous shoot, and it kills that as it breaks out of the seed, basically. So if you're growing, if you have plants that are rooted or a lawn that's rooted and established and not coming back from seed, it won't affect it at all.
Next lawn question here, we have Jim and Gilbert, who wants to know, when can he put in Bermuda grass seed? At what point is it warm enough?
Well, nights need to be mid-60s. So that generally, if as a rule of thumb, there's about a 30-degree swing here in the desert between daytime and nighttime temperatures. So mid-90s in the day. We all hope that's about the end of May, right? even early June would really be nice if we could get through all the way through May in the mid-90s. But... generally, it's probably mid-May before we're consistently in that temperature range.
And we talked about soil prep for a garden. Do you have to go through that amount of prep for a Bermuda lawn?
Well, you certainly don't need to go that deep. You know, you only need to go a couple inches deep. The same prep is about right. Yeah, some organic material, some gypsum, some fertilizer, but you only need to get it down. You know, you only need to get it in a couple inches deep, so you don't need to kill yourself with the rototiller going a foot deep.
Now, over the period of a time on a mature lawn, if you're doing both your summer and your winter, you've got your Bermuda and it's growing, then you've got your overseeding, and if you're adding top mulch fertilizer, I mean, that stuff builds up over time. Do you ever have to scrape all that out?
Well, it's called thatch, and we get a layer of thatch in Bermuda grasses that, yeah, you do. Now, simply by scalping your lawn every fall and putting a winter lawn in, you are in essence thatching your lawn, you know, in the fall, which is coincidentally not a great time to do that, but that's when we do it to plant a winter lawn. My advice there is don't do it as early as a lot of people do it. Mid to late September, early October is pretty early to go in and disrupt an actively growing plant like a Bermuda grass. Wait till maybe mid to late October to do that. But so people that are overseeding are generally dethatching their lawn every year when they do that. It's not a bad idea, though, to do it, again, mid to late May, early June is when we want to dethatch Bermuda grasses, because that's when they're able to just immediately recover. It's kind of like a rejuvenation pruning we talked about earlier in the show. We've got plants that are getting ready to take off and grow for spring. Boy, if you go in and prune them severely now, you don't have to keep pruning them all summer and fall. You just prune them heavy one time. Same way with dethatching a lawn. We wait till the lawn is either getting ready to or really actively growing, and we go in and we dethatch it because we're doing a lot of damage to it. We're getting in there and taking out dead stuff, but we're also getting in there and ripping and tearing through rhizomes and even maybe some small roots in the very surface if we get a little too deep. So you're damaging that lawn. You want it to recover quickly. And it actually helps open up the sun and the water. It'll get better water and better sun penetration down to where it needs to. So it's a good thing to do, just don't do it too early.
And there's a lot of people that are going to be ripping out a lawn for various reasons. They're tired of taking care of it, water savings. It seems like every time one lawn's installed, another one's ripped out somewhere else.
Could be, yeah.
What's the proper way to kill that off so you're not constantly fighting that Bermuda Coming up through whatever your new landscape finish is.
Well, you can't, again, while the Bermudas are dormant and not growing, they're basically impossible to kill. You're not going to dig them out. I mean, unless you've got some big, heavy equipment and you go down several feet deep, you're not going to get rid of all
the
roots. And then
solarize it and then
haul
put
in
down
all new fresh layer soil. Of... And yeah, so the best way to do it is wait until that, you know, maybe late April or early May when that Bermuda grass is green. Some of it's green now. I mean, some Bermuda grass lawns didn't even really go completely dormant this winter. So if they're green and not brown and dormant, you can start spraying them. And really, quite frankly, the only way to completely eliminate Bermuda grasses is with a glyphosate herbicide. You're doing it in a lawn. You're not doing it in an edible situation in a garden. And so, you know, hit it with glyphosate, let it die, then I water it again, see if any comes back. Repeat that process a couple of times, and you have 99% of it will be gone.
And then you'll obviously still have plenty of weeds to fight going forward in the future. That's not going to prevent seed drop.
No, not at all, and that's where your pre-emergent herbicides come into play in the landscape, is using those a couple times a year to prevent the weed seed germination.
If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Text is becoming very popular, just like this last one from a 602 area code. The text number is 411-923. Should my grapevine be growing yet?
Man, I haven't noticed any sprouting on. We've got a pretty nice big mature one at the nursery. The buds may be starting to swell a little bit, but there's no new growth on it yet. You know, none of those things all happen at the same time, Valley. You know, they're all, it's interesting. You can see stuff that's starting to leaf out, stuff that's still pretty tight and dormant, stuff that's blooming. You know, it's not like, okay, the switch comes on and everything goes. It's pocketed. It depends on shade and sun and temperature and location as to what triggers those leafing out events. But no, I wouldn't worry about it if it hasn't leafed out yet.
And then email that has come in. There's a gentleman that wants to know, 602 area code again, about pruning a 20-year-old citrus tree that's about 20 feet tall. And he wants to bring that tree down to 10 feet.
You're too late.
Too late.
Start
over.
if you reduce a citrus tree by half its size in one fell swoop, you're probably, it won't kill it overnight, but it'll slowly kill it because you're going to open that tree up. It's going to sunburn big limbs, sunburn the trunk, and it will slowly die in most cases. Yeah.
If you really want a 10-foot citrus tree,
you
should
have
cut that one down.
Should have kept it at 10. Yeah. Yeah,
and plant a new one, and then not let it get past the 10 feet.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, we appreciate the questions. We'll come back to the last segment, wrap it up, get rid of these coyote tickets, and finish up with a few calls online. It's Rosie on the House every Saturday morning.